Shalom. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit-Am Broadcasting Israel, representing the Brit-Am 10 Tribes movement. We believe that the lost 10 tribes today are to be found amongst Western peoples. We have proven it. The proof may be found in their publications that are well worth acquiring, and also on our website, www.britam.org, britam.org, where you can find proof, evidence, articles, and a lot of sound reasoning showing that the Lost Ten Tribes today are to be found amongst Western peoples, amongst the peoples of the USA, North America in general, including Canada, the USA, the UK, Britain, Wales, England, Scotland, Ulster, Ireland, all of those places, areas where the Lost Ten Tribes are to be found. This also includes offshoots from such areas, such as in New Zealand and Australia and South Africa. It also encompasses peoples on the western coasts of Europe and also in the center, such as part of the population of Switzerland, of France, of Belgium, Holland, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Finland. All those countries have a good portion of Lost Ten Tribes, of descendants of Lost Ten Tribes amongst them. We have proven it. We have proven it in our articles. And also in this present talk, we are now about to discuss a portion of the Bible that proves that there brings additional proof that the Lost Ten Tribes are in these areas. That is what we are about. We are now discussing the portion Bezot HaBracha. Bezot HaBracha. That extends from Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible, chapter 33, verse 1 to 34, verse 12. This is, in effect, the last section of the book of Deuteronomy. And it is also the last section of the Torah, of the first five books of the Bible. The first, the Chumash, also known as the Chumash, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch in English. These five books were written, are the books written by Moses. Moses did not write any other books, or at least they did not. No other books received the sanctity of these first five books. There's an opinion that the book of Job was also written by Moses, but no one's certain about it. At all events, Job has not got the same sanctity as these first five books have. And these first five books of the Bible are what is commonly called the Torah. And the five books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They are known as the Torah in Hebrew, and afterwards we have the prophets, known as the Nevi'im, and then we have the writings, known as the Ketuvim, as together we have the initials, Tanakh, which in Hebrew, Tanakh is another name for Bible. Point about nomenclature, the first five books of the Bible are referred to as Torah, but also in spoken Hebrew, or not only in spoken Hebrew, in the written tongue, Torah can sometimes apply to any teaching. It especially applies to religious teaching, and sometimes Torah is applied to the whole Bible. So we have to, when you want to know what exactly the word is applied to, you have to consider what is context, the context in which it is used. At all events, getting back to what we are speaking about, we're now speaking about the last portion of the Bible, the last portion of the book of Deuteronomy, that ends our first five books of the Bible. It ends the yearly cycle in the synagogue, where these first five books are read out. It ends the cycle, and then after that, a new cycle begins, beginning from the first book of Genesis, in the beginning, Bereshit. So, and in which the cycle begins anew once again. And this last portion of the Bible has the blessings that Moses, it's a short portion, incidentally, it's a very short portion compared to other portions, and it contains the blessings that Moses gave to the 12 tribes of Israel. And through these blessings, we can find some additional hints as to who the Lost Ten Tribes are. For those of you who have forgotten, there were originally 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel split into two different sections. You had the section of Judah in the south, from which the present-day Jews are descended. And in the north, you had the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes were conquered by the Assyrians, taken into exile, and lost consciousness of their identity. They lost awareness of who their ancestors were. Nevertheless, we have traced them. We have traced them through the Bible. We have traced them through rabbinical commentaries, and also through historical and linguistics and mythology, and almost any field of study which has some pertinence to the ancestry of our different nations. And we have proven that the lost 10 tribes, a good portion of them, are now to be found amongst Western peoples. And that is what our organization, Brit Am, the 10 tribes movement, concentrates upon. That is what it is dedicated to, finding where the lost 10 tribes are, bringing this knowledge to the attention of as many people as possible, and working towards the reconciliation between the Jews and the lost 10 tribes. These are the three R's of Brit Am. Brit Am has three R's. The three R's are research, finding where the lost 10 tribes are, recognition, bringing this knowledge to the recognition of the people concerned, and reconciliation. Research, recognition, reconciliation. They are the three R's of Brit Am, and reconciliation means bringing the hearts and the minds together between the lost 10 tribes who will now come to realize who they are, who will now come to find a realization, an expanded consciousness concerning who their ancestors were, that they are too are descended from Israelites, and the Jewish people, Judah, represented in the Bible by Judah, who eventually will come to also recognize the lost 10 tribes for who they are. And we are working in that direction. A portion begins just before the death of Moses. Moses was about to pass away from this world. He went up and he blessed the people of Israel before he passed away. And this is the blessing. This is what our portion is concerned with. Go to Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. And this is a blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Moses is referred to as the man of God. Moses was the greatest prophet who ever existed, who ever will be. As it says, that God spoke to him directly and without any form of intermediary. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Sinai unto them. He shined forth from Mount Sinai Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. The Lord came from Sinai, it says. God revealed himself on Mount Sinai to all the people. This tradition proves itself. An individual can make a claim that he received such and such a revelation, and you may or may not believe him. I can say that yesterday an angel appeared to me, and this is what he said. So if you probably think I'm a nutcase or something like that, or just someone who's had a little bit too much to drink or take, or someone who had funny little pills put in his food, whatever you think, you probably would not believe me, and you would be justified in doing so. But if I said that we have a tradition that a bit more than 100 years ago there was a civil war in America, and half of the people fought the other half, so you would check it out. Because if I am telling the truth, there are records of it. People have traditions. There are ways to verify this. People still remember. They were told it by their parents, by their grandparents, and so on. So too, any tradition that claims that the whole of the people received this tradition, the whole mass of the population experienced such and such an event, it is very unlikely that it could not be true, because at no time could such a tradition be invented by anyone and accepted universally by all of the people, unless some type of remembrance still existed that such indeed was the case. And this is with more sophistication and a more convincing form. This argument has been brought forward by Rabbi Yehuda Alevi in the book The Hakuzari. He lived in the Middle Ages, and he was a great rabbi. Sources continue, he loved the people, all his saints in your hand, and they sat down at your feet, everyone shall receive of your words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. The law is the inheritance of the whole congregation of Jacob, meaning the lost 10 tribes and Judah. But now, for technical reasons, the lost 10 tribes are not obligated to keep all of the law. They are as if to say suspended. In the future they will return to keep the law. At the present time Judah keeps the law. But nevertheless they should be aware that in principle they will return to keep the law, and in principle they should have an obligation to keep it. And they should start thinking in that direction and making inquiries perhaps in that direction, even though they have no obligation to actually do anything at the moment. We are, however, reaching the end times. We are reaching up towards the Messianic era, and when everyone will have to do his own thing and find who he is and respond to it. But at least for the moment, we can put that aside and just concentrate on what we have to do, what the present situation requires. The present situation requires more than anything else that we know who we are. The Lost End Tribes recognize who they are. They spread this knowledge, they become aware of it, and that should be the first steps for whatever else should follow. And a portion goes on, and he gives a blessing to Reuben. He says, let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. We identify Reuben with groups that settled primarily in France. We have proven it. We have a whole, we have a book dedicated to this and to other matters. They also have articles on the subject. Reuben became dominant in France, and the French character, then French national characteristics, passionate, unstable, cultured, refined, sensitive, justice seekers, logical, daring, rational, all of these apparently, on a superficial level, somewhat contradictory traits may be found amongst the French, and the French have their own unique style and culture which reflects that of Reuben, their forefather. Then it goes on, Deuteronomy 33:7, this is the blessing of Judah, and he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient to him, and be you a help to him from his enemies. Judah represents the present-day Jews. Other tribes that are prominent amongst the Jews are Simeon, Shimon, Levi, Benjamin, and also small representative proportions of all of the other tribes. It says, bring him unto his people, meaning that Judah in the end times will need to be reconciliated, to be reconciled with the Lost End Tribes. His enemies, Judah has a lot of enemies. Judah has enemies all over the world, every nutcase, every bad egg, anywhere hates the Jews. They all hate the Jews. Anyone who's bad hates the Jews. If you don't hate the Jews, you're not an evil person. You don't belong to the gang. They all hate the Jewish people. They're all anti-Semites. And Judah has enemies all over, in every place, in every nook and cranny. There are enemies, foes, looking out and trying to hunt down Judah and do something bad to the Jews however they can. And so we ask God to help him against his enemies, because he needs it very much, even more so than the other tribes. It says that his hands be sufficient for him. And when help from God is forthcoming, Judah is not someone to mess around with. The Jews... When God is with them, when the Almighty is with the Jews can be formidable foes, and they are to be respected and not provoked. Of Levi, it says, Deuteronomy 33:8, and of Levi, it said that your Tumim and your Urim be the Holy One, whom you did prove at Massa, and with him who that is strive at the waters of Meribah. So it goes back and it reflects the history of Levi. Levi today is primarily amongst the present-day Jews, even though... Because of the Levi was originally scattered amongst all of the other tribes. And when Jeroboam ben Nebat, the king of the northern kingdom, the king of the 10 tribes, after the 10 tribes had split apart and set up their own kingdom, he set up a golden calf in Bethel and in Dan, and he instructed the people to go and worship these calves instead of going to Jerusalem and worshipping at Jerusalem. Because he was afraid if the people continued to worship at Jerusalem, they would want to reunite with the Jewish people. Jeroboam did not want that, because then he would lose his kingdom and that possibly even his life. He was afraid. So he ordered the people to go and worship golden calves that he set up at Bethel and in Dan. And he also appointed priests who were not Levites. He appointed priests from the lower ranks of the people, non-Levites. And so after that, well, most of the Levites who were in the northern kingdom moved to the south. This is related to us in the book of Chronicles. We also have in popular Jewish tradition, we have the idea of the sons of Moses. The sons of Moses are often associated with the sons of Ad, meaning the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, or the Lost Ten, especially with the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, and... The sons of Moses together with the Lost Tribes of Israel in Jewish tradition were said to be in the British Isles and in Gaul, meaning in France. There's an article on our website. We also have a section of one of our books, of our book, If Rhyme, is dedicated to the subject. On our website, go to the article, look it up on the search engine on the site, the search engine dedicated to the site. Look up Sons of Moses, and that will take you to this article. And there you will see the sources for what we've just said, sources that provide additional proof that the Lost Ten Tribes today are to be found amongst the Western peoples and their offshoots overseas. And also goes on and said, Levi, when he said he disregarded his brethren and he kept going and he did the work of God, he did what God wanted him. And the Jewish people have always done that, and they've always been faithful to their faith, faithful to how they understood the law to require them to be. They've been good Jews, and even at the expense of losing their children, and losing their relatives, losing their families, they continue to be faithful to God. And this is what was promised, what was prophesied that Judah would do. And eventually Judah will be rewarded for his faithfulness. And two, on our website, we have several articles on this, quoting from Bible sources on the matter and proving this point. And he goes on and he talks of Benjamin, Deuteronomy 33:12, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Benjamin is also dominant amongst the present day Jews. The Jews of Romania had a tradition that was descended from Benjamin. So too the Normans. The Normans, who from Scandinavia moved to Normandy in western France, and from there they conquered England and other areas. They also for a period of time conquered Sicily, southern Italy, other areas. The Normans came at a tradition that they were descended from Benjamin, from the tribe of Benjamin. They had been at one stage been in Romania. The Jews too had a tradition that Benjamin had been in that region. And we also find Benjamin amongst the population of Belgium. And this verse is pertinent to him. The temple, incidentally, the temple in Jerusalem is built mainly in the portion of, is built partly in the portion of Benjamin. The temple precinct, in effect, overlaps with the interlace of the borders of Benjamin and Judah. The portion of the Mizbeach, of the altar, is in the section of Benjamin. It goes on, Deuteronomy 33:13, of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the depth that croucheth beneath. Joseph was blessed with agricultural prosperity, healthy lands, and mineral resources on a world scale, on a worldwide international level, worldwide. And the Anglo-Saxon countries, the English-speaking nations, up until recently, and even now it still holds, have been the leaders in agricultural prosperity. Their lands have been healthy for their inhabitants, and they have possessed a good portion of all the world's known mineral resources and other benefits. And Deuteronomy 33:14 goes on, the precious things put forth by the sun and the precious things put forth by the moon, both the sun and the moon have an influence on plants, on the growth of plants, and agricultural produce from Anglo-Saxon, and also from other Western peoples, the areas of other Western peoples, are in effect the best in the world, the most proficient, the most productive. The agricultural methods are the most productive in the world, and also so are their agricultural yields, and the general health of their population and the general educational qualities of the people who dwell in those lands is very high, close to that of being the best in the world, if not the best in the world, in nearly every case, according to nearly every possible parameter that can be used statistically. Also says Deuteronomy 33:15, Joseph is being blessed for the chief things of the ancient mountains, of the precious things of the everlasting hills, meaning food products and mineral resources, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Precious things of the earth once again refer to agricultural plenty and mineral resources, and also to the influence of the land on its inhabitants. He was separated from his brethren in Hebrew, Nazir Ehav. Nazir Ehav can also mean who he was crowned, received Nazir, in the sense of being crowned, of having a coronet placed upon his head. He was crowned above his brethren. In other words, Joseph was promised the preeminence, and the preeminence amongst all of the other children of Israel. And this too is confirmed in the book of Genesis in chapter 48, and also in the book of Chronicles in chapter 5 in the last verse, where it says expressly that the birthright will be given unto Joseph, and two. In the book of Genesis, chapter 48, Jacob blesses Joseph above all the other tribes, and he says that may his blessing increase manyfold over beyond that which would accrue to the other tribes. The other tribes would just receive the blessing of their forefather, whereas Joseph would receive a special blessing that Jacob gave unto him. Jacob is also known as Israel. Israel and Jacob are the two names for the same person. He was originally called Jacob when he was born, and later on God gave him the name Israel, but we sometimes continue to refer to him as Jacob. He goes on, Deuteronomy 33:17, his glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. So on our website, in different articles on this subject, we've gone into some detail. We've shown how England is actually named after the Angli or the Egloi. The Angli and the Egloi are dialectical meanings of the same thing. The name England actually means the land of the Bukaf. Bukaf was a nickname for Ephraim. See Jeremiah 31:18. The name England actually means the land of the Bukaf, that is the land of Ephraim. The unicorn was a symbol of Manasseh, and it also became the symbol of Scotland. Coat of arms of Scotland has two unicorns. When Scotland joined with England to create the United Kingdom of Great Britain, the unicorn was incorporated into the new coat of arms, the lion on one side and the unicorn on the other, which according to Numbers 26, where the lion and the unicorn ruling over all the seas of the world, is one of the signs of Israel. And this is what the British, and together with them, the Americans did. They ruled over the seas of the earth. This is what Numbers 26 says they would. The land of the lion and the unicorn, or the peoples represented by the lion and the unicorn, would be Israel in the end times. And this is where the lost 10 tribes are to be found amongst these peoples. Its glory is the first thing of his bull calf. This is a bullock in English, it means bull calf. Bullock in English. In Old English, it's an archaic word. It's an old word for the Hebrew eagle, and it means literally bull calf. A bull calf is a symbol of Ephraim, whereas the unicorn was a symbol of Manasseh. And Manasseh and Ephraim are the two sons of Joseph. And in the end times, they will return and they will be reconciled with Judah, and they will know where they came from and who that they are too are descended from Israel. They too are portion of the Israelite tribes. And in the article on this week's portion, we deal with this with some detail. We bring midrashim and commentaries and differences of opinion, and show how the differences of opinion may be reconciled with each other. And we go into all these matters in some detail. And these matters are important. It's worthwhile studying them, learning them, reading them through, and getting an idea of what we are speaking about. So go to our website, look up Bible studies, go to Deuteronomy, go to Vezot HaBracha, and there you will find a commentary on this portion and an expansion on this brief talk that we are giving you concerning this portion. It says Deuteronomy 33:18, Zebulun, he said, Zebulun, in thy going, rejoice in your going out, and Issachar in your tents. Zwolle represents Holland, Isaha represents Switzerland, and Swiss have got a lot of characteristics similar to those of Isaha. As it continues to say, and so too does Zwolle, just like Zwolle has many of the characteristics of the people of the Nederland, in other words, the Dutch. And then it says of God, he says, blessed be he that enlarges God, he dwells as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown on the head. We identify God with the Goths, meaning the present day inhabitants of Sweden. And he goes on, describes Dan as a lion's whelp, which will leap from the Bashan. Bashan was another name for, Bashan was a portion of the ancient area of Israel, was east of the Jordan in present day Syria. Is also referred to as Basil. Basil is another name for Scandinavia, and we have traced the tribe of Dan to Scandinavia, especially to Denmark. We've also found portions of the tribe of Dan in Ireland and elsewhere. And Naphtali has said, Naphtali, satisfied with flavor and feel the blessing of the Lord, possess you the south and the west. We identified in Naphtali with Norway and with groups that settled in South Africa and New Zealand. And Abashi said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his fruit in oil. Oil could mean petroleum, and today there are indications that petroleum has been found in areas, as at least one area, possibly two areas or more, areas off the coast, off the shores of the sea, in the sea. Where petroleum resources have been found, oil, and this is what it says, a dip is footed in oil concerning Naphtali. And as we said, go to our website for more details. Now we're just pointing out the giving you an overall view. It also says concerning Asher, that his shoes shall be iron and brass, and as the day so shall your strength be. Asher was to dip his foot in oil. Asher, areas connected with Asher, who dwelt beside Naphtali. Asher dwelt beside Naphtali. Areas connected with Asher. In ancient times, there were areas north of Haifa, and also extending into Lebanon, the present-day area of Lebanon. In effect, it belongs to the tribe of Asher, it belongs to Israel, it should belong to Israel. And in these regions, petroleum resources have been found off the coast. Asher also was prophesied that he should it's translated as in the shoes, actually meaning locks, na'alecha. Should be iron and brass or iron and bronze, and areas connected with Asher, such as those of the Lowland Scottish, and in Britain, Scots-Irish in the USA, were those known for their industrial enterprise, for building ships, the great shipyards, and railways, and other industrial enterprises and projects that were concentrated on working metal, on the metal industry, and everything that sprang from it. It says, there's none like you unto you, O God of Yeshurun, who rides upon the heaven in your help, and his excellency the sky. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath of the everlasting arms, you shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and say, shall say, destroy. And then it says, Israel shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. And also his heavens shall drop down dew. Deuteronomy 33:28, it says, the fountain of Jacob. Fountain of Jacob is Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov, literally speaking, can mean the fountain, it can mean a spring. Ein can mean a spring, can also mean eye, a seeing eye. A seeing eye, so we have it here, a single seeing eye as a declared symbol of Israel. And if you look on a dollar bill, you will see the Great Seal, in other words, the coat of arms, the official coat of arms of the USA, and they have a picture of a pyramid representing Egypt, which was a symbol of the tribe of Joseph, and above that, or as part of it, you have a great seeing eye, the eye of providence, and this is the eye of Jacob. In the Hebrew Bible, mentioned in the Hebrew Bible as a symbol of Jacob, see Deuteronomy 33:28. And he goes on that God will save his people and that God gives them strength. And says in 33:29, you'll defeat the enemies. And he gives them strength to be warriors, and that their enemies should be afraid of them, and that they should tell their enemies and those hostile to them how to conduct themselves, that they should in effect be the most formidable world force in international affairs. And the peoples whom we identify as belong to the Lost Ten Tribes do fulfill this criteria. They do have this quality, and they have had so for a long period of time, especially now in this era reaching forward towards the end times. And this too is one of the signs, one of the proofs, one of the indications that these people are part of the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. Then a portion goes on and tells us how Moses went up from the plains of Moab, and he went up into the Mount of Nebo, and there he was shown all of the land of Israel, and he passed away, he died, he was 120 years old when he died, and some people do that. It says his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was still like a young man, vigorous and strong. And you do get people like that. My own grandfather died at 106 years old. He was 106 years old when he died. He was towards the end of his life. He did need the help of others to look after him, but up until the age of 100, he was still getting around, getting on and off buses on his own and so on. And so he wasn't like Moses. He wasn't as great as Moses, but he was in his own way. He was somebody. He was a personage. And he lived until 106 years old, and if he could do it, so could others, and especially someone like Moses, who lived to be 120 years old, as the Bible says. And he had the strength, his eye was not dim, and nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And then after Moses died, Joshua the son of Nun, from the tribe of Ephraim, he had been appointed by Moses to be his successor, and he took charge after Moses passed away. And it says in Deuteronomy 34:10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. That's what it says. Look it up. Deuteronomy 34:10. I repeat this verse. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent to him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and all that mighty land and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Moses showed in the sight of all Israel, all of Israel, all the people of Israel saw the signs and wonders that Moses performed, and all of Israel knew itself to be obligated, and they accepted this obligation to follow Moses for all time and to keep the Torah, to keep the mitzvot, and to do what the Almighty God of Israel wants them to do. That is what we all have to do. We all have our different tasks in this world. You were created in such a way as you would have wanted to be created if you hadn't been given the choice beforehand. Call a nivra the dator nivra. In other words, that's an expression in the Bible, in the Jewish sources, that anything that is born, anything that is created, agrees to become as it does become. It knows within itself, every entity, every person knows within herself, that this is what you are, this is what you agreed to be, this is what you wanted to be, or you would have wanted to be if you knew what you could become. And now all you have to do is do the will of your God as much as you can within the framework you find yourself in. And if the framework is not sufficient, find another one. Doesn't matter, do what you have to do. But believe in God and try and keep faithful to the God Almighty, and to help your fellow man, and to live a good life, and to learn the Bible and internalize its message. And may all go well with you. May God bless you and be with you and with your family and everyone who is dear unto you and you care about. This is Yair Davidi from New Bam, Bibrit and Broadcasting Israel. Blessing you all and congratulating you and ourselves upon this conclusion that we have reached to this study of the first five books of the Bible and of this particular portion, which is an important portion, a significant portion, and its message should be taken to heart by each and every one of us. Thank you very much.